A reading from the Gospel of Luke from chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Verse 31, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." An actress welcoming children to an exhibition and dressed as Queen Victoria introduced her colleague as her lady-in-waiting. "Do you know what a lady-in-waiting is?" she asked. And after a pause, one hopeful young child answered, "Is it a woman who's going to have a baby?" Well, the child wasn't far wrong, because many people describe such a woman as an expectant mother. And expectation is a term we use for waiting in hope. The Virgin Mary hoped that she'd conceive a baby after she got married to Joseph. But then the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that her hopes would be fulfilled, but earlier than she had expected. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she became pregnant, an expectant mother. She'd hoped for a baby and would have been quite satisfied with a perfectly ordinary child. But in fact, as the angel told her, her baby was unique, the long-expected Messiah. God always gives us what we hope for, and sometimes more than we'd hoped for, but often his gifts fulfill our hopes, yet not in the way we have expected. The Jewish people had been expecting and hoping for a Messiah, and they'd asked God for a king to defend them against their enemies. God gave them King Saul, who was a disaster. Then King David, who, well, was merely a mixed blessing. King Solomon, who was led into idolatry by his foreign wives. And then a whole succession of kings who were, to say the least, a real disappointment. But they didn't lose hope, the people. They still expected God to send them one day a perfect king who'd solve all of their troubles. And of course they expected this Messiah to be a great general, a military leader who would drive out the Roman army of occupation. And what did they get? A weak and helpless baby, crying in a manger. God always gives us what we hope and pray for, and sometimes more than we hope and pray for. But often his gifts fulfill our hopes, not in the way we have expected. Another title for the expected Messiah is Son of Man. It was used in Daniel's vision to describe a completely human figure, the representative of God's chosen people. And yet the Jews hoped their Messiah would be superhuman. They tried to force Jesus to take up arms against the Romans, but he wouldn't. And Jesus, too, was a great disappointment to them, for he refused to behave as they expected him to behave. The only way the Son of God can save us is not by fighting for us, but by dying for us. So I wonder, are you full of hope and expectation this Christmas season? God's gift fulfills our hopes and exceeds them. You won't be disappointed in God's gift. But I wonder, in what ways do you expect God to act? You know, we wish each other a happy and peaceful Christmas when we send Christmas cards and greet friends and relatives. And ideally, in a perfect world, the whole family would be together at home, unwrapping presents they've given each other. For many families, that hope will be literally fulfilled. But for others, the happiness will be limited by the absence of some faces around the table. People who are sick or too far away, or who may sadly have died since last Christmas. Many people have to spend Christmas alone. But there is no perfect world. We usually have to be content with second best. And yet, a second best Christmas is still something to rejoice about, if we recognise that God often gives us better gifts than we had ever dreamed of. Advent, therefore, is a rather solemn season. The rejoicing is tempered by our awareness that the babe in the manger was born to die. And some of our loved ones fall ill, and we've prayed for them to live, but still God took them. And yet, as Canon Scott Holland wrote, death comes to us all. But the death of Jesus gives us hope of immortality. And so when our loved ones died, God gave them the gift of eternal life. And that gift is immeasurably greater than any other. And so amid all the solemnity of this Advent season, we can still look forward to Christmas in hope. Let's all be ladies and gentlemen in waiting, expectant with promise, but open for God to surprise us by giving not what we asked or prayed for, but something much better. God always gives us what we hope for, and sometimes more than we have hoped for. But often his gifts fulfill our hopes, yet not in the way we expect.